This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
This will be second and goal. The give is to Johnson. He's in. Touchdown. Kramer in at fullback. Johnson lined up behind him. First and goal. It's Johnson. And he is in. Johnson's second touchdown today. And now some extracurricular activity.
And I thought Jonathan Vilma was great on the Fox broadcast, along with Kenny Albert, describing all the extracurricular activities. Like, you play football. Why not take all of that out by actually, you know, playing football?
Sometimes when you're getting beat down, you can't get it done between the whistles. You have to wait till after the whistle to get what you wanted to get done, because you couldn't do it under the legal qualifications of what it takes to play football.
Right, but you happen to play a sport where you can act on those feelings in a positive and constructive way rather than a way that's bad for your team. But there it was, Roschon Johnson, who has now carved out, certainly fantasy players will be taking
Vulture.
Notice, carved out a role as the goal line guy, and they ran what Matt Eberflus has been referring to as God's play. That is the power run. Some people think, well, what do you mean? Power run means you're going to pull a lineman around. You are going to get the numbers on one side and dare him to chase it down from the back. You're going to double team at the point of attack. You're going to try for a little kick out. You look for an isolation. And it's everybody knows what's coming, and they just got to stop it.
It's skeet shooting for an offensive coordinator. Pull!
Yep.
And then we go. Away we go. See if you can hit that mark. And
they make it even better for using your backup center as a fullback and the possibilities.
That's a big boy.
That's big. Yeah, and he
moves bigger than a fullback.
And he moves okay. He actually moves okay. Like, he really gets up ahead of steam, and if he makes this a part of his identity, then like I say, you never know where this could go, where it could lead, what the possibilities could be. And I loved what Olin Krutz had to say this morning on Mully and Haw about what the mentality of that play can mean for them.
You put stress on the defense when you put big bodies on the field. We were hoping yesterday, Pat Manley pointed out, we were hoping we'd see Kramer in the flat for a touchdown pass, right? But we didn't get to see that. So like the package, like the fact that you line up and say, look, man, we're going to run God's play here. We're going to run power roll. Yesterday, they hit it a little bit by putting Kramer at the wing. They put him in motion and then hitting the end guy. But really like it. It's an attitude play. It's a culture play. This is who we are. Coming downhill at you, worked yesterday against the Panthers, worked last week against the Rams. I really enjoy that style of football.
I do too. And I love that they enjoy it, that when it's called, that feeling of leaving the huddle has to be fun.
Listen, to remember back, it was only a couple of weeks ago when we were like, how come they can't get it done on short yardage? Actually, you could probably go back to last season. They don't have a play to get the 1 yard, right? You go back, since I've lived in Chicago, they didn't have like a standard set play to get the 1 yard. And in football, if you can't get 1 yard, come on, man. I was surprised that they didn't call it on the 4th and 1 midfield. I was like, what are we doing? Why are we deviating from what's been working?
That was the only thing I had written down on my notes. Here it is. Play call drive. They started at their own 25 in the second quarter. They got the 3rd and 11 earlier in the drive when Williams hit Gerald Everett.
Right.
And then they ended up with a 4th and 1.
That was after a 3rd and 1.
Correct. And it was Roschon Johnson both times.
But he didn't have the extra heavy, like, at least not in the backfield.
It was a dive play, right?
Right.
Roschon, I believe, was the fullback.
They lined up in like a weird, a slightly offset split back.
It was offset split back. Yeah.
And then they brought Swift in motion and did a straight dive with Roschon, and he just got blown up at the point of attack.
Yeah. So I did have that circled as a bad play call. If this is your identity, say, hey, we're going to run that play that we run and make them stop.
And then they get back on the goal line and they go back to doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, why did we take a break from that? Because it would have been nice to see another touchdown and perhaps a 40 piece. You know?
We'll get it, I think.
Okay, now you're more confident, even though the competition's getting much stiffer. Now, against the Lions, it can happen because the Lions will let you run up and down the field with them.
Well, it has the point has been raised
okay.
that we should, as a show, perhaps take it under advisement to redefine the criteria for a comfy win.
Well,
there's some saying like a 26-point win is comfy enough, regardless that 40 is just arbitrary.
Tyson Bagent coming into the fourth quarter of a 9, you don't need him to do anything but take knees. That
right.
would seem to qualify.
I'm open to that. I'm open to redefining
comfy. I wanted the Snuggie to be for something really special, though. I think 40 is a nice bar to clear.
But not if they win 40-38. That's not comfy.
Well, but we were talking... Were we talking more comfy offense or just comfy win overall? I guess that's part of
right,
it, too.
Right, I think
it started with
comfy offense, and it became, oh, if they blow out them and win and hit 40 points, then that's special. Because we did talk about, like, oh, what if they lose 42-40 or something like that?
And obviously it's not comfy because you didn't have enough. But we did mention the human victory cigar who did come out for this game, Tyson Bagent, in a 9, hey, Caleb's hurt. Or whatever role.
Right, it wasn't, oh my God, it's Tyson Bagent.
There's two different tones of, oh my God, it's Tyson Bagent. Oh my God, it's Tyson Bagent. Or it's, oh my God, it's Tyson Bagent.
And if I'm the guy in the game, whether it's on Twitter or you're next to me at a bar, so if I'm the guy who was clamoring for them to get Caleb Williams out.
You did say that earlier. I thought I was like, this is going to be his last drive, Dan.
Get him
We're
out.
Fine.
No,
fine.
I know, but I was like, get him out. I don't want anything to happen to him. Get him on the plane to London and send him there and let him be. Get him out. Get Tyson Bagent in. If I'm saying that, things are really going well for the Bears.
My favorite thing about Caleb Williams is he is not trying to get the contact. He's literally, if I'm running, I'm sliding early. I'll get the first down and get straight down. He took a couple of hits yesterday, but it was only like 2 hits.
The one out of bounds should have been a penalty.
Yes.
Absolutely, 100% should have been a penalty. It was late. His body was mostly out of bounds. You could see the side judge almost indicating that, well, he was still in bounds enough.
If he's not all the way out of bounds, if he hasn't stepped out of bounds, no, he could be heading out of bounds, but if he doesn't get there and somebody hits him, that's football.
I think if your body is in the air out of bounds, qualifies as being out of bounds.
I'm sure by the letter of the law.
You're no longer in the field of play.
But
you know?
Haven't got the whistle has not yet been blown.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can hit him still.
But you're a quarterback.
I don't think that matters because now you're a runner. You're no longer a quarterback. You're beyond the line of scrimmage.
Okay, you're right as far as the letter.
I think y'all's fandom is getting involved here when we're talking about the letter.
Listen,
of the law.
I was ready to run down to Soldier Field and fight them myself after that play. It's like, where's the flag?
Yeah, we were used to the egregious hits on Justin Fields because of the ill-timed slides and two vertical slides. That's why when we were the whole slip and slide thing during Hard Knocks.
And he has used that slip and slide to perfection here in the regular season. He has gotten down early, but when you go out of bounds and you don't make it out of bounds before somebody is angling to get you, that's going to happen from time to time. I understand where you're coming from. I just need you to admit that he had not yet stepped out of bounds when he got hit.
If I were watching the game 20 years ago, I would probably agree with you 100%. I just know the de facto officiating is different than what it says in the book about erring on the side of protecting quarterbacks and punishing those who would dare to
touch a quarterback
who's
been out of bounds.
Yeah.
Lay your dirty fingers on him.
I will say they've gotten better, I think, with some of the hits in the pocket. I do think that they've.
You're talking about the officiating?
I think they've chilled out. That's usually the referee himself who makes that call. And I think the referees have chilled out a bit on. Look, we saw it against Stafford on that interception that
where
ended
it could
the
have
last
been
game.
The passer.
He was contact with a head.
Yeah.
I mean, Daryl Taylor hit him in the head.
Yeah.
And they didn't call it. And they're not calling the body weight thing anymore.
Yeah. So they can call it, but it's rare that you see it. You see all the time guys fall on guys because. Let's be honest. Back to what you just said about hitting a guy going out of bounds. When a pass rusher is literally hitting a guy, he doesn't know if he's released the ball or
not. Correct.
That last step is just, I'm taking this guy out.
I think that they know it when they see it now, and I think that has moderated a bit. And I'm not sure it's out of film work or discussion among them or just having more data to suggest the difference between an intentional contact with the head and inadvertent contact or incidental contact with the head. So I'm cool with that. But when you get a guy who, especially a quarterback who is trying to give himself up or not actively trying to get the last bit of every yard, and it's okay to protect him over there because that's where bad things can happen.
I think that's honestly part of this when we talk about like their identity on offense. You have a quarterback who's not literally scrambling trying to figure it out. He knows exactly what he wants to do on every play. Now, whether he achieves it or not, that's the execution of it all. But one of the things I like about this quarterback compared to the last quarterback, and maybe even the quarterback before him, he's declaring. When he steps out of that huddle, reads the defense, makes an adjustment or doesn't, he knows what he wants to do when that ball is snapped. And if he doesn't have time, he knows he wants to scramble to get time to do certain things, whether that's run or find another target. He seems to have the game in front of him as opposed to being scatterbrained.
It's also it's really important to note the difference between a scramble and a run, that he's scrambling. He is keeping the play alive.
Right.
And if his eventual decision is, I'm going to get what I can, or I'm noticing, man, I'm reading the nameplates, I can gash him here, he'll do that. But we were with Fields, we were used to a quarterback who, once he broke the pocket,
it's over.
His first choice was, you're going to have to get me down because I'm going as far as I can that way. And I think it's obvious now that Williams' eyes are staying up. Nothing against Fields, but it's that Williams' eyes are staying up, that he is scrambling to expand layers and to create a bust.
So Shane Waldron's old quarterback, I don't know if you guys saw any of the game yesterday, Seahawks-Giants, crazy game with a crazy finish. But Geno Smith's trying to lead the Seahawks back at home against the Giants, who somehow got a big lead, and they were just... And on one play, he literally is scrambling. I was like, Geno Smith's not really a running quarterback. But he got, like, I want to say it was 40 yards on this running play where he just saw daylight, took off. But the whole time, he's like, guess what? When they come over here, when they catch you, I will be out of bounds. And he was past the line of scrimmage, and he was in full-on, looked like Archie Manning when he ran for that touchdown. And he knew exactly when to get out of bounds. I think Caleb is of that mindset. He knows when to call it a day.
Well, he also is good at getting that last extra yard. That's something that, where Mahomes is also, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's athletic.
But he knows where the marker is,
and
too.
And manipulates his long arms and the ball and a little tap at
out
the end,
yeah,
to gain that extra. That over the course of a season adds up a lot.
Especially when you're talking about the difference between a first down and a possible third or fourth down.
Sure. And just what it saves everybody, that there are, that's when you talk about the difference between quarterback rating and passer efficiency rating, that's some of that stuff in there too. And neither one is perfect. Both have their flaws. All stats have their flaws, but
I don't need to necessarily look at all these numbers. One thing that Studs pointed out before we came in here, 17 of 19 for 200 yards and two touchdowns against the blitz the last 2 weeks. That, like, a rookie quarterback? Sign me up all day.
And who's his mentor? Who's his role model? The guy whose numbers against the blitz were astonishing, Aaron Rodgers. And the actual Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man, don't bring him up, because... Or you can, if you want to gloat. If you want to gloat, you can bring him up.
Oh, why shouldn't I?
Because he looked like a shell of his former self. So for the first time in his career, he's two decades of football, right? First time in his career, he took through two first quarter interceptions. And like, he gets to the podium, he's like, yeah, it's on me because I've never done that before. And he throws the third. They still had a chance to win the game.
The third one, you know he wants to blame the receiver. You know that in his heart, he doesn't think that was his fault.
It is on him. It's his fault.
Uh-huh.
And my answer to all the Aaron Rodgers issues, because I don't think he is quote-unquote cooked, but I do think if you had just showed up training camp preseason and taken all of that as seriously with a new team and new teammates, and remember you only played, what is it, three snaps last season? Like, maybe you handle that And then you're in a better position and not 2-3, 5 weeks into the season as a member of the New York Jets and about to get your coach fired possibly at the end of the season, Robert Saleh.
I will also mention, too, when Andrew Van Ginkle took off.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he looked like football god. It seriously looked like a Marvel superhero of some kind.
It was beautiful.
Because he does not move like a big person. And I didn't know that he was that fast when he hit the corner. And like, okay, that's it. Oh, whoa. All right. You go, Andrew Van Ginkle. My goodness.
It's interesting because earlier there was an interception going the other way where the guy gets tripped. If he doesn't get tripped, he's got a six, and then the game itself might have developed differently. But players make plays.
A lot of long returns yesterday. We had a 100-yard fumble return. There was the Broncos guy, was it Surtain, had the pick six walk in. When a team, I love watching blocking in those opportunities. When a team realizes, we get to score now. Go get them.
I don't feel like, by the way, we've answered the question like how many good teams there are in the NFL any better after this week's slate of games than we did a week ago.
It's okay.
We're still blobbing out here.
We're still in the blobbing business?
Yes. Like, yes.